should be the permanent theme of this show.
I hear this in my head whenever you speak anyway, so. He's dancing, everyone. Brian's dancing.
If only we had a webcam right now.
Do the little dance he promised you all? He just did it.
Does this sound familiar, by the way?
Hallelujah.
Oh, you've played it before.
This was the theme of last year's Christmas show, which is coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas show is coming up soon, everybody, and what a show it's going to be. For those of you that are new to the website, for those of you that...
What a treat you have in store.
Oh, what a treat you have. Those of you that came over in the merger, you've never heard a Christmas show before. Unless you go back into the archives, the last two Christmas shows are available. I think it's two, maybe in three. How long have we been doing this? I guess we'd have... I think we've had at least two.
I think we've had three, because I remember the...
Anyway, the point is we're going to have a Christmas show soon, and what it is Vinny and I don't talk any wrestling whatsoever if we don't have to.
No.
We crack open the liquor.
Yes, yes.
We have a bunch of gifts that have been sent from wonderful subscribers all over the world, which we open here on the air.
Right.
Some of which have been sent to us, and some of them are just mail that I've got that I haven't opened in all of December.
That's fine.
So we're going to open some of those, and we'll call some people, and we'll just spread some holiday cheer here on the program. That's the Christmas show coming up sometime before the end of the month.
And we'll do it all while schnookered.
All while hammered, in fact. So, yeah. Now, before we get into the shows that we have to recap tonight, including a three-hour Raw and SmackDown, and I guess, have we talked Hogan Celebrity Wrestling yet?
No, we have not.
I guess we have not. I guess we got to talk about that one as well. Before we get into those shows, I promised on the Daily Show that I would address Impact. Impasse. As Sarah Palin refers to it as.
Did we not review the entire show?
We did, but I've been tossing around in my head the idea of boycotting this program.
Need I state my opinion?
No. I don't like getting so mad. But at the same time, I don't like being forced to do something I don't want to do. This is a freedom that is being impinged upon. My freedom of happiness is being infringed on by the pain of this show. So, I was strongly considering not watching Impact this week. I thought we'd watch The Dark Knight instead and review that instead of Impact. However, we're going to watch that tonight after this show is over. So I plan on rushing through this show, everybody. Come on now, HD. But I have made the following decision. I, as God is my witness, was going to boycott the show this week. The only reason I'm not going to, and I'm not promising that I will not boycott the show in the future. The only reason I'm not going to is I read the spoilers for Impact this Thursday, and I was not gravely offended. Everything largely made sense. So I am going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to watch the show.
That sucks.
Now, if the next set of Impact spoilers come out, and I read them, and I'm just aghast... That is the week I'm going to boycott the show.
So what I need to do is send you some fake spoilers.
No,
full of bullshit.
Not going to work out that way. And I will say that if they once again do the barbed wire Christmas tree show, we're watching that show. I realize that was literally the worst show that's ever been made.
I do recall having a lot of fun reviewing that show.
It was so bad it was fun.
It was both the barbed wire Christmas tree show and also I believe there was a party. Where, like, Eric Young was inviting guests over.
Yeah.
I have vague memories of this. And Awesome Kong ate plastic fruit.
This is a free show today, by the way, so we're going to do some shout-outs here at the end. And I'd like to also plug, before we get going, since this is a free show and there's tons of people listening to this, Vinny has a new website.
I do.
Which I Tony, and Tony's brother, Monty, are 95% responsible for.
How dare you?
Well, we are, Vince.
What percent have you done?
First off, I came up with a name. And
okay.
I bought the URLs.
That's two.
And they created the entire website.
What have you done in the following 2.5 months?
I fixed your polls and your links.
Did I have broken links?
Well, you had a bunch of links that didn't involve me.
I see.
So I fixed those.
I see.
Anyway, the point is that Vinny V Sports Report, which not only did I buy Vinny V Sports Report with V-I-N-N-Y, but I made sure to buy V-I-N-N-I-E as well. So I was thinking in advance for this. $14 came out of my pocket to create this website.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, the Vinny V Sports Report is available.
It's up at VinnyVSportsReport.com. Also, VinnyV.com will get you there.
Will it?
That's what Monty said.
Oh, I did not know that.
I haven't actually tested this yet.
How about that? So apparently Vinny V will get, unless this is a huge rib in which I will laugh heartily.
It would be a tremendous rib. You can link to anything that would make it a great rib.
So anyway, VinnyVSportsReport.com is the place to go. And Vinny, of course, is a sports show every weekend, most every weekend here on the website, which...
it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
Even Brian likes it.
It takes you a while to get going, though, Vinny. I may have to start opening the show for you.
I have never...
And then hand over the reins.
I have never aspired to do radio. It was never a goal of mine. I fell into this show, and after about several years of people saying, you should do a sports show, I thought, hey, why not? And so I gave it a go. And I would say, by and large, it has been a C.
Well, it's fine once you get going. It's just getting going that you have a problem with.
I see.
So I'm thinking I may open the sports show from now on.
Mm.
Give it a little bit of oomph.
A little star power, as Lance Storm said.
That's right. Some star. Me and Lance will open up the show for you. We'll just bullshit and make fun of you, and then we'll hand over the reins, and then you can just go.
Because as Tim Flowers noted, there's nothing better for a performer or entertainer than to bash his confidence right before he goes on.
Well, we could bash your confidence in the middle of the show, which brings me to our first drop today.
So with that out of the way, before we get to Monday night, any major announcement, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Caller, go ahead. The silent caller has returned for the second time on this show.
Hello, this is operator 80637F with an IP relay call. Do you know how to use relay?
No.
Allow me to explain. You are receiving a call from a person requesting operator assistance to communicate over the phone. The person will be typing, and I will voice the conversation to you.
Epic.
When you hear me say, go ahead,
this is the first time I've heard
please
this.
Respond by speaking slowly and speaking directly to the caller. I will type everything I hear on your end of the line. When you are finished speaking and ready for a response, please say, go ahead as well. Are you ready to begin?
Go ahead.
Can you please repeat your greeting, sir, when you picked up the phone?
Caller, go ahead. Who's this?
Please say go ahead when your turn is done.
Go ahead. You can hear me frantically trying to get Brian to hang up.
I refused.
That was wise. Yeah.
I hope she typed
my
that.
My name is Leo. Who do you think is going to be in this year's Super Bowl? Go ahead.
Well, Leo, if I was going to pick right now, I think the Giants...
One moment, please, sir. Please speak slowly as I am typing everything you're saying. Can you please repeat your message?
I like the Giants in the NFC. And right now, I like the Steelers.
Can you please spell Steelers?
S-T-E-E-L-E-R-S. In...
One moment.
I'm sorry?
Please continue after Steelers and...
In the AFC. Thank you for your call. Go ahead.
Thanks. Can I ask one more? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Healed on him.
Okay. He let that go as long as I could bear.
Oh, the magic of the Vinny V Sports Report, everybody.
Wow. That was the longest 42 minutes of my life.
Oh, my cheeks hurt. There's a drop for everybody right there. Awesome.
Wow.
I like how long it took her to spit out the first question.
I don't understand.
Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? This took 10 seconds!
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll know what to tell you. That was awesome.
It was, yes.
That was the pinnacle of this show. The first pinnacle of the Vinny V Sports Report was when Lance Storm called in.
And we talked about Star Trek.
For the most awkward conversation in history. Trumped by this call.
Absolutely trumped by this call.
And I made sure to send him that drop right there, and he agreed.
Who could not agree?
He agreed that this was significantly better than his call.
Who could possibly think the Lance Storm call was funnier than the IP relay call?
Oh, God. Lance Storm is going to be on the show Thursday, Freeloaders. You can't hear it unless you sign up. And on Wednesday's show, tomorrow, for some of you listening to this, today for most of you listening to this, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
A legend.
Of Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling is going to be on the show talking Celebrity Championship Wrestling.
I think he's asking about haircutting.
I will. I'll ask him about it all. I'll ask him if it's really the best to cut a man's hair using gardening shears. So anyway.
Tell him about our hair match and how much it sucked. Especially the haircut at the end.
That's the lineup, Freeloaders. As noted, you can't listen to that or any of these other shows unless you sign up today. And we've got a Christmas special for those of you listening that are not Freeloaders, that are subscribers, who have friends who might like to sign up. For every three-month subscription that you purchase, we will give you a month free. Obviously, if you're a recurring subscriber and your subscription ends at infinity, we can't add to it, unless you plan on living forever. But for those of you that are not on recurring, if you sign a friend up, you get a free month for every three-month subscription. So you have 12 friends and you decide to go nutty and just get them all three-month subscriptions to this website, you will not have to pay again for a full year. So That's the big Christmas special for today, everybody. And since we're talking beefcake, I guess we should talk the final episode of Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling, which I'm so sad the show has ended. I do not know what to say, except that it was my favorite show on television. And in fact, I had three favorite shows on television, ECW, Hogan, and Ultimate Fighter, and now there's only one left. So
sucks to be you.
God, does it ever. This was the final episode, down to Willis, Screech, Rodman, and Butterbean. And the story here was that they all had to learn two matches, a tag team match, and then the judges, after watching the tag team match, were going to determine which two guys would have to wrestle the final match, I guess immediately thereafter. So everybody had to learn the final match as well, but only two people were going to do it. Which, of course, begs the question how they went about doing that, since wouldn't everyone have to learn both roles?
Apparently, because I thought when they started, I figured that they would pick one team that would face each other, but no, they would just pick two men from that match.
Yeah.
So I was not clear on that, but regardless, every guy had to learn two matches.
So anyway, then we had a jabroni battle royal. I should note that Brian Knobs, that's the man I need to get on the show. This guy is... If he had been, they should have sent this guy to Iraq. We would have been out of there 5 years ago. The fact that he is not leading a regiment or even just working in wrestling in some capacity as a manager or even as a trainer, it's a crime. Crime! This man is the most underutilized man in wrestling today, I've determined.
I think as an entertainer, I would trust him more than as a military commander.
You never know.
You never know.
Have you been following the war? Come on now. The Jabroni Battle Royal with the Red Hot Redneck, Tiffany, the Mistress of Mayhem, and Nikki Ziering. They called it a Jabroni Battle Royal, but it was actually a tag match. Frank Stallone was involved, but he sucked so bad that they would not allow him into the ring. He was a manager outside.
Moreover, they put him in drag.
He was in drag. And then, of course, after the Mistress of Mayhem pinned Tiffany with a high cross... They edited this quite a bit, by the way, so it was passable. But after the match, they sent Danny Bonaducci into the ring to face off with Stallone. Stallone punched him. Bonaducci no-sold it. Stallone ran away. Never took a single bump. So he was, in fact, the smartest man on the show.
And the highlight of this was they panned to a crowd shot. And right when they cut away, I said to you, "Hey, is that Tank Abbott?" And you kept typing... And I said, "No, I'm serious. I think Tank Abbott was in the crowd." And you rewound, and sitting there in the crowd for Hogan Celebrity Championship Wrestling was one David Tank Abbott.
Just calmly observing.
Just hanging out, watching the show. That was so... That was even more bizarre than ICP and Scott Hall showing up in the middle of a TNA pay-per-view.
Yes.
Tank Abbott was just randomly sitting there watching the finale of Hogan's Championship Wrestling.
By the way, what did that Scott Hall ICP thing lead to in TNA, by the way?
Nothing.
Amazing. So Knobs then gave the men a final pep talk, and that led to Butterbean and Rodman against Screech and Willis, which was not a bad match. The it was not the best match they've ever had, but Willis looked great. Rodman, in fact, everybody really looked pretty damn good here. Rodman ended up making a big comeback and went up top and hit the clothesline on both guys for the pin. So after that, they had the judges kind of gave everybody a pep talk, basically. And
a pep talk or a tip. My favorite tip was Hogan saying to Willis that you need to know what this business is all about. You're taking too many risks with all these dives.
Yeah. He should stay ground-based.
Yes.
In Hogan Celebrity Wrestling. But anyway, he got rid of Butterbean and Screech. He did not call them jabronis. He thanked them for all they had done.
That disappointed me.
Said they had done a good job. Both guys looked very sad, which made me very sad. Because after all these weeks, I wish everyone would have won. And it was sad to see these two guys go. And that, of course, led to Rodman and Willis. And I think the saddest thing was, this is not like Ultimate Fighter where you know they're all going to fight again anyway in UFC at least one more time. What the hell are Butterbean and Screech going to do in this business in the future?
Little?
They ain't going to WWE. Probably aren't going to... Actually, you know what? They may go to TNA. Who even knows at this
TNA
point?
TNA is a possibility. You may be able to get your hands on some IWA Mid-South with Screech.
I don't know. So, but I guess really, what are Rodman and Willis going to do in this business either? So
I don't know what Willis has done for the past 20 years.
I've heard,
seriously, nothing from this man other than crimes he's been involved with.
Willis. Yeah.
And suddenly here he is, and he seems charismatic and talented and ridiculously athletic, and I want to know what the hell he's been up to.
Well?
Apparently buying cool hats.
Yeah, his hat has become a character, and it was kind of annoying at the beginning when the hat never came off, but now it's like part of the character, and it seemed wrong when the hat did come off. So they had a match. It was fine. It was mostly Willis working his ass off, and then Rodman doing the Hogan gimmick, the Hulk up, the big comeback, body slam, leg drop, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he won with a big clothesline off the middle rope, and then they went to the judges, and judges put them all over, and then Hogan got in the ring with the belt and awarded it to Dennis Rodman. And as I've said on many shows, in fact, before I saw this, I knew Rodman won, and going into this show, I was like, robbery. This is bullshit. Willis should be winning this whole thing. And in the end, maybe Willis should have won it, but Rodman, between the tag match and this match, he was the man more than anyone else that really connected with the crowd.
Correct.
He was not an embarrassment. And the reality is that in the end, it came down to the man portraying Hulk Hogan against the man portraying Ric Flair. And obviously
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right.
And obviously that meant that the man portraying Hulk Hogan was going to win Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling. And that is exactly what happened right here. And, you know, it was not the worst decision ever. Rodman got the belt. And by the way, the makers of the belt are sponsors of this website, Wildcat Wrestling Belts.
Great men.
There's a you can go to the any page, actually, any secondary page on the website, and Wildcat Championship Belts at wildcatbelts.com. They're the ones that made Hogan Celebrity Wrestling the belt. So if you want a replica of this championship, and Jesus Christ, who wouldn't, this is the place to get it.
Get Rodman's name on there.
Yeah, get Rodman's name on there. But anyway, this series, I loved. I loved the series with all my heart. And I mentioned this on Observer Live and on the Dave Show. I'll mention it here if anyone hasn't heard it yet. ECW and Ultimate Fighter and the Hogan Show all had several things in common. Number one, they were all 1 hour long.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they all featured brand new fresh faces.
Mm.
We see Jack Swagger. We see the disco dancer and his hot girlfriend. You know, there's a lot of fresh faces on ECW. Obviously, Ultimate Fighter, all fresh faces. And Hogan Celebrity Wrestling, all fresh faces. And by the end of this season, I cared more about these guys than almost anybody on Impact, for example. Or SmackDown, really.
Yeah, really.
It's you know, same old on Raw, SmackDown, and Impact. And these are three shows where it's something new, and I love them. And I'm very sad the show is off the air, and hopefully they come back for a second season.
Rodman did hint he would want to defend his title. There was a point here in this match where, you know, Rodman's been wearing like camo pants and big army boots and a t-shirt the whole series. And I figured, well, you know, he's been retired for a while. He's probably let himself go a little bit and probably doesn't need to be seen on TV. And then he's making his comeback here against Willis, and he yanks his shirt off, and he is still ripped and tattooed and pierced, looking like a star. And I thought, Jesus Christ, who decided this man needed to wrestle with a shirt the entire season? But there it was, and he won anyway, so I guess he knows better than I do.
Yeah. Anyway, so Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling. If this ever comes out on DVD and you never saw the series, get it. And for those of you in Canada, I believe it starts December 12th on Much Music. So make sure you check that out because this is...
It was fun.
This is great stuff.
I, to be honest, I cannot say I loved it as much as you did, but it's worth buying just for the Butterbean scene.
Yeah.
Butterbean going over the top rope was worth the entire season.
With the music. Oh, goodness.
Suck my dick to the back. Fuck you and everybody that looks like you.
Turn the internet off, goddamn. Pay attention to me.
Powder.
Piece of paper.
To the back.
Jamaican me crazy.
There's no law on this, except put every drop in every song.
Quiet.
Like Adam.
Aha.
I'm done, y'all.
To the back!
I once had needles stuck into my penis.
No! No!
Oh, my God.
But why?
I don't recall that.
Would you like to issue a rebuttal?
I would. What could I possibly be talking about?
Needles inserted into your schlong.
Waffle, did you do?
It would have no idea.
Refresh my memory.
Like in front of like the green, in back of the green screen.
Haha.
When did I have needles in my schlong?
Certainly not when I was here.
Oh, you know, I was probably talking about acupuncture. They didn't go into my schlong. That was probably an edit. But, I don't think I had acupuncture in my schlong.
I would remember.
I'm pretty sure I
give you 100% guarantee.
Pretty sure I would remember that one. Oh, goodness. God, I keep getting IMs and emails about Joey Styles.
Well, it is a funny story.
It's a hilarious story. Tomorrow on Figure Four Daily, we're going to have a special show. We're going to open up the phone lines for callers, and I want people to call in. And I want you to tell me where you work and what would happen in this situation if it happened at your work. I had two people call in today. I thought of this at the end of call-ins. And one guy worked at an investment firm and the other guy worked at a school. And I said, what would happen in this situation? And both responded that the Joey Styles in the situation would have been fired. And I thought, wow.
Possible, I guess.
And Fishing and Hunting News.
Well,
with characters, one very close to the boss and one lowly delivery man, for example. What would have happened in this situation?
The character close to the boss was being actually physically abusive over a period of days, and so the guy fired back and popped him.
Yeah.
You know, I bet it happened at one point in the company's history. And I don't think it was fired. There were it's hard to tell and kind of pointless to say about a dead company, but I wager the person would not be fired. I think they would just both be given a warning, a stern talking to, and told to stay the fuck away from each other.
Huh. Well, that's different one there.
I guess. We were kind of a strange company, though.
Well, that's undoubtedly true. And, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to SmackDown. We'll save Raw for last, since that one's going to take a while. Edge beat Kung Fu Naki, actually sold like a motherfucker for him before he finally speared him and pinned him. And then Vicky got in the ring and said, it's only fair since you wrestled tonight that your opponents of the pay-per-view should wrestle as well, that being Edge and, or I'm sorry, Triple H and Jeff Hardy. So tonight they will be in a gauntlet match, and the only way the match can end is when they lose. And she actually said, and I quote, the rules are very, very simple, and I was horrified. And then in fact the rules were very,
very,
very
simple.
Thumbs up.
Yes, that was great. The match was a fun little minute there of Edge selling his ass off and winning. And then we got the best part, which is just Edge and Vicky being Edge and Vicky. And she was cheerleading. She tried to get the crowd to applaud her man. And I am so happy these two are back together. They are so awesome and so wonderful. And then she booked the match, and we'll talk about more about that later.
Michelle and Maria non-title. Maria beat her with a cradle. And Michelle was kind of a subtle, she wasn't really a heel here, but she was just being aggressive, and Maria was the babyface in peril. But the point is, like, as a person working heel, Michelle is so fucking much better than when she's a babyface. And with the voice and the fucking music, this is a good fit for her. Heel. And then afterwards, they had the, I guess, official heel turn where Maria was backstage with Carlito, Primo, Brie, and Nikki Bella, four people, and up walked Michelle. She looked right at Maria. She delivered a kick to the gut. Then she said, "You deserved it," and walk away. There was no brawl.
There was no
brawl. That was the extent of it. And all four of Maria's friends just stood there.
Including the two gentlemen, Primo and Carlito, who just let her take an ass kicking.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was wacky. The match was bad. We talked about this. I hated it. You said it was not as bad as other stuff we had seen. That's probably true.
Vince, have you watched this fucking show?
Apparently,
have
I watched it.
Have you watched the fucking Bella Twins?
Apparently, I watched it and then immediately blocked it out from my mind.
This was Trish Stratus versus Lita compared to this shit with the Bella Twins.
Well, it may have been that compared to the shit with the Bella Twins, but sadly, it was not that. So, it was bad. Then there was a very, very wacky segment.
And we had MVP doing a promo by his string of luck. And now he no longer had a tunnel or fireworks. And
should have blamed it on budget cuts and the economy.
Out came the Hurricane, who has not wrestled in over a year due to neck surgery. And he looked all right, I guess.
He was mostly good. There was some editing. And there was a spot where, like, Hurricane missed a kick and MVP hit one or vice versa. That looked kind of sloppy. But on the whole, it was good.
He's not cut his hair in a year. Little
very shaggy,
loose around the midsection.
There you go. Yeah.
Single worst. I sound like I'm burying the Hurricane here. He was not bad, all things considered, except the Shining Wizard that he threw at the end of this match. I swear to God, was the worst one I've ever seen in my life. I am prone to hyperbole, but no joke. Have you ever seen a worse Shining Wizard than the one we saw in this match?
I don't recall. But
monumentally bad.
There was some sloppiness involved.
I only knew it was a Shining Wizard because I've seen him do it before. Basically, he fell down, and that was the finish.
Sort of threw his leg up. Yeah. Yes, he also has gear to make him look like an indie wrestler. He's wearing shorts, and it's bad. Has to go. But he does have a cool new tattoo. It's the word Helms in giant green letters across his back.
Yeah.
It sounds cooler than it, or it looks cooler than it sounds.
Jeff ran into Hunter, and Hunter was in his usual I'm better than you mode. And so Jeff was like, "Hey, fuck off. I'll see you in the ring, cocksucker." It was great.
Yeah, they do this all the time, and it's usually pretty lame. This one was actually really good. Mainly because I believe they really hate each other.
They had a gauntlet match, and first team was
and what a gauntlet this was.
Edge Geeks. And even though Hunter and Jeff could not get along at all, they beat them.
Quickly.
Sucks to be them. So then Miz and Morrison came out.
In fact, you're understating how much they did not get along. Hunter hit the pedigree in like 2 minutes and went for the cover, and Jeff tried to hit Hunter with a senton. They were actively fighting.
Yeah.
And they still beat the Edge Geeks.
And Miz and Morrison came out, and they had a little match and ended up with a count out with Jeff and Hunter brawling outside the ring. And I just was sitting there thinking, wait a second. If they're not getting along and actively fighting each other, why couldn't one of them cost the other the match and Miz and Morrison could actually get a pinfall over somebody?
Get a pinfall on somebody?
So we had a fucking count out.
That's a good question. I have another question. What's the point of having a gauntlet if there's going to be two teams involved? The only purpose of the Edge Geeks out there was just to be buried. Why didn't you just book them versus Miz and Morrison and do the same thing?
What, Miz and Morrison, they keep wrestling them until they lose?
Let's just say you have to wrestle Miz and Morrison.
Yeah, but the idea was they had to lose. There had to be failure on the part of them. That's why it was a gauntlet.
Well, then here's another question. Why should Hunter and Jeff care if they fail? And in fact, in the end, they did not.
Well, that's the real question.
So that didn't make any sense. I do want to point out one positive here. The gimmick was Hunter and Jeff did not get along. Now, they did settle things down and stop actively fighting each other for a while, but they would still walk over to each other, and Hunter would hold out his hand, and Jeff would slap his hand as hard as he possibly could. Because, you see, it was part of the story. Ordinarily, when guys in this company make tags, they reach over and they gently touch hands and just trade places. On, for example, Ring of Honor or Tulalip, tag teams hit each other as hard as they can all the time for no reason.
Don't do that, guys.
Don't. Just tag easy, guys.
Just touch each other's hand. It's phony. for those of you that have forgotten. So then we had Edge and Vicky celebrating backstage, and Jeff stormed in and wanted to know why Edge tried to kill him in the stairwell, and Edge said, seriously now, who would have the most to gain by you being knocked out of that pay-per-view match? And he said the answer is Triple H. And just then Hunter walked in, and no sooner did he said, you wanted to see me, when Jeff flew out of nowhere and beat the shit out of him, and it was great.
That was brilliant. It all made perfect sense based on what Edge had said and what we had just seen. And we didn't even see Hunter. We heard the door open. We heard him say off camera, so what do you want to see me about or whatever? Jeff turned and he immediately flew into action. There was no delay. There was no standing there thinking, hey, it's Hunter. He just snapped like an animal and attacked him. And it was great.
Then we had Matt Hardy and Chavo, which ended up, well, nothing happened because Kozlov ran in and beat up Matt and left him laying. And I guess Jeff was still beating up Hunter backstage because he did not make the save for his brother. And anyway, I guess Kozlov is out of the SmackDown title picture. And so now he's in the ECW title picture, which,
Well, what are you going to do? He's going to be around. But the highlight of this far and away was the sign that read, refreshments are grossly overpriced.
Yes.
The actual sign.
Well, you know, economy. Then we had the Kali kiss cam, which for the first time ever, he got to kiss a hot girl. They brought Eve into the ring and dressed as Santa's little helper, and Ranjin had mistletoe, and he said that Kali needed to hold it up, and then, of course, you kiss under the mistletoe, and they missed the boat here, big time. I thought as soon as Kali held that mistletoe up over his head, Ranjin was going to leap in, kiss Eve, and pronounce the segment over.
Well, you see, Brian, the problem with that is that would have advanced the storyline or taken this gimmick to a new place, which apparently is not their goal. Their goal is just to have Kali kiss girls every week, and that's it.
Well, this time he actually held up the mistletoe, and then Ranjin's like, kiss her, damn it!
Yeah, it was the same Kali segment we've seen 1,000 times, except it was Eve instead of a girl from the crowd.
Yeah.
And it took like 10 minutes.
And the funny thing is they've been doing these, I don't know why they've been doing these Kali kiss cam segments. I presumed it was to try and get Kali over, and they begged and begged and begged the fans to cheer him and that sort of thing. And I guess the fans did after the cheerleading. But this time when he actually kissed a hot girl, they all cheered his name without being asked. And it's like, no shit! Why is this stuff hard to figure out in 2008?
I don't know, but I was going to say, while I found this to be 10 minutes of empty TV that did nothing to entertain me, the crowd was going crazy for it, so whatever.
Then, of course, the main event was Big Show and Undertaker in a cage match, and I'd heard good things about this match. It kind of got going, and I was like, meh, it's every Undertaker-Big Show cage match I've ever seen. Then it fucking got great. Undertaker took a superplex off the top of the rope. The top rope, not the top of the cage. He went for a flying elbow off the top and missed. This guy was just insane. And the guy's broken. And he's still doing all this shit. And they teased a bunch of near falls at the finish. And then Undertaker finally got him in the Goga Plata. And the people went nuts for it. And this was a great SmackDown match.
You liked it more than I did. I thought it was a fine SmackDown match.
This was great.
Undertaker was killing himself. That is true. And I did like the point where right before he missed his top rope elbow, they were fighting on the top of the top rope there, and he hit Show, and Show teetered and tottered and weebled and wobbled, and Taker kept hitting him, and finally Show just took the big nasty plunge bump back into the ring, and Taker went to climb out and then realized, wait, I don't want to climb out. I want to kill this man. And so he did. And so that all made sense, and I did like, again, that Show's finisher at this point is a punch. That is great news, and he had the knockout punch, and then Taker got him in the choke, and everything was fine, but it was I would say it was a fine SmackDown main event, all things considered.
3.25 stars, maybe even 3.5. This was good stuff. So, 2 thumbs up, and a hell of a lot better than that one show, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that was so goddamn horrible, in fact. All right, what's this right here?
Let's get on to Raw here before I really get off. I was actually unimaginably excited. They had Jeff Hardy come. Why don't you talk about this match while I'm doing some business here? I was begging Vince to drop his pants. Sweet Jesus. I demanded Vince pull his trousers down. So Vince rapidly pulled down his trousers. And I dove in there. And dramatically and with almost glee, angry glee, kissed his ass. I was holding his balls.
The only problem I had with this was they've only been hanging out for like a month.
I enjoyed it because I got to eat 4 hamburgers.
A clusterfuck.
You could do that too. I would have a problem with that.
It was good. It could have been better.
There you go.
So Vince is leaving the building. He's all happy and filled with joy that there's no better way to end a night, he says, than somebody kissing his ass. It was so great. Days a week, a machine.
Yeah. That was weird.
That sounded kind of gay.
Let's try one more. It did sound kind of. Come on, baby, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz. I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz. Start the car. I know we'll wacky spot where the gin is called, but the conversion. It's just a noisy hall where Chris Benoit killed a guy.
Wow. Wow. That was going so well. Rarely has anything been so great and then turned so bad so quickly.
Well,
what can you do? Different strokes, different folks, I guess.
I won't say who made that song in case he's embarrassed. It was Vince, everybody.
Sorry.
All right. Raw. This 3-hour show. These 3-hour shows.
This was the best 3-hour show I think we've had.
Why don't you get started? Because I'm going to go find something to eat.
I could eat something real quick.
Way to go, boss.
Just get moving.
So this is the Raw 3-Hour Show. It was the Slammy Awards, the annual awards they were having, and they didn't waste any time. The first segment was announcing the Tag Team of the Year. And announcing this award was the couple of Maria and Festus. And Festus came out, and he had a tie on, but was still his usual simpleton self. And Maria was all decked up, and she, of course, looked fantastic. And they announced the nominees for Tag Team of the Year were the Colons, Priceless, Miz and Morrison, and Crime Time. And if you've been paying attention to this year at all, then you know there's really no question about who should win. And in fact, it was the Miz and John Morrison. They were announced as the winners, and they came out on stage, and their music was playing, and you have never seen two men celebrate anything so passionately. They were so happy to be the Tag Team of the Year. They were happy for each other, and just they ran up and down the stage, and they knelt, and they thanked God, and it was finally time for their speech, and they thanked, among others, the Academy, their parents, Chuck Norris, Mr. T, Admiral Akbar, Baba Booey, and assorted others. And finally, they told us all to be jealous. And this was a great, great, great segment. And then it led to a great match with John Morrison versus CM Punk. Morrison, immediately after accepting the award, he had the slow-mo, and he did his pose, and then walked down to the ramp. This is the semifinals of the Intercontinental Championship Tournament, with the winner getting a title shot at William Regal. Regal was shown backstage with Layla watching and not particularly impressed. I do have an open letter to CM Punk. You're just not that athletically gifted. You're not a particularly coordinated person. I would advise doing fewer reverse crossbodies off the ropes and fewer super Hurricane Ranas from the top rope. How you didn't land on your head on either of these maneuvers, I don't know. They both scared the hell out of me and left me somewhat traumatized. But somehow he survived them, and they, like I say, they did have a great little match. There was a great spot where CM Punk was doing his Kenta stuff or the slaps, and he went with a high kick, and Morrison ducked that kick and threw a high kick of his own that was so beautiful and so great, and it was so awesome, and the crowd was totally into it. And Punk kept going for the GTS, and Morrison kept hitting a counter, and on like a third try, Punk finally got it for the win, and this was a very fun match. Brian's returned.
God, I'm hungry.
What did you eat?
I had some ice cream.
Did you find any food in your beard? It looks like a beard worthy of hiding food in.
You know, I hope no girls are listening, but it's a terrible story.
Go on.
I was at the gym the other day, and for those wondering how I get my Adonis-like physique, I'm doing...
It involves weights.
Actually, no. I have not used weights in like 6 months now.
Oh,
so only body weight stuff. I've got a circuit that I do. It's I do 10 pull-ups, and then I go do 15 dips, and then I do 10 straight leg raises, and then I do 15 curls. That's weights.
Okay.
Then I do crunches till I hurt really bad. Then I do push-ups. Then I go do the back extension machine, or the back extension deal where you just the hyperextension thing. Then I do the leg extension because my back is broken. And then I grab a 45-pound plate in each hand, and I walk the length of the gym twice. And then I rest for 1 minute, and then I do it again, and I do that three times.
Okay.
This is my manly circuit that I've been doing of late. And it's winter. So I get started, and the first set of pull-ups, it's like, you know? Kind of things creak and don't feel too well. Then I do the dips and everything gets going and then I start moving and everything's all great and no rest between anything, by the way.
Right.
It's nonstop. So after the first time through, inevitably, my nose is a little runny.
Okay.
So I went through the circuit the other day. I went through like two times or whatever and there's right by where I sit down for my 60-second rest, there's a thing of tissues. So I quickly grabbed one and I blew my nose and I threw it away and I sat there to wait my 60 seconds. And suddenly a man walks by and he looks at me and he takes a double take and then he just goes, "It's not in the beard." That's when I determined it's almost time to shave this fucker off.
Getting there.
Snot in the beard. This was somewhat embarrassing.
The best part of that is the familiarity in the tone of his voice.
Yeah, he did. He was just like, it was so nonchalant. He told me and he moved on. There was no showing me or helping me out. It was just, tell me what happened. So, anyway. Then we had the best finisher. Actually, Cena did a promo spoofing Jericho. And first match, 3.25 stars, by the way. Very good. So, said he'd banned his dog from watching Raw, which was wacky. But then he talked about how Jericho was a pussy and how if he had three cronies that attacked Jericho, Jericho would be crying about it. But he wasn't going to cry. He was just going to go beat his ass later. That part was good. First part sucked. So, that led to Crime Time and Candace announcing the winner of Best Finisher, and the nominees were the RKO, the Hell's Gate, the Shooting Star Press, and Big Show's Knockout Punch. Evan Bourne won.
Bullshit.
And people booed.
This was total bullshit.
People booed.
You had The Undertaker's finisher, which was an angle developed
over... Wait a second. You think the Shooting Star Press was bullshit? Of all the slammies on this show?
Well, there's other bullshit, but... The Undertaker's chokehold was used as an angle built over a period of 6 months, and then it capped off the biggest show of the year. That is how you use
it. Well, maybe the idea was which finisher looks the coolest.
Well, in that case, it would be the Shooting Star Press.
Anyway.
But
why was Big Show's fucking knockout punch on here in the first place?
Because it's a punch.
Anyway.
I was fine with that being on here.
So then Mike Knox came out and stole his slammy. And then Orton came out and ranted about...
I did write down, by the way, that I am inappropriately angry about Evan's Shooting Star Press winning this award.
Orton came out and raved about how he wasn't the superstar of the year, ranting and raving, and said he was used to this disrespect by now. And he said, instead of Triple H versus Batista tonight, how about Triple H and Batista versus Orton, Manu, and Cody Rhodes? So they have not completely lost their minds. And apparently the new name of the group is The Legacy, which, that's a fine name.
That's a very good name.
So then we had MVP against MVC, which was Charlie Haas, and it was exactly what you would expect. MVP lost. I liked it because he ran down the Phillies and was getting tremendous heat, and then he was foiled in the end, so I thought that was awesome.
I just like that he found a way to mock the Phillies because they won the World Series.
Well,
that takes talent.
And we had Matt Hardy and Tiffany for Extreme Moment of the Year, which were Undertaker being tossed off a ladder through two tables, Jericho putting Shawn through the Jarrotron, Cena and JBL having a parking lot brawl, and Jeff jumping off a platform onto a crash pad. And, of course, Jeff won. So he did a big promo saying it started many years ago on a trampoline, and now he was going to head to the pay-per-view and win the title at Armageddon, which may very well happen, given what they did on the show tonight.
It was, I did like Matt's suit here, although my vote for Extreme Moment, and they actually showed this later in the show at some point, but it was Jeff Hardy, but it was not the dive off the stage, it was the dive he did off the truck. I thought that was cooler.
Hardy and Jericho, oh, the one where he just disappeared? I thought that was retarded.
Well, that's what he did with this one.
I know, but they're both stupid.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I guess it's okay that the Extreme Moment of the Year was the safest thing, but Jeff Hardy and Jericho. Jericho beat him clean with the Codebreaker, which, strange. I presume this means that Jeff is winning the pay-per-view. It is odd that he would put over a guy that's not even on the same brand, so it's not like Jericho's going to be the next challenger if he wins the title or anything like that, so... Match was good while it lasted, but didn't go all that long.
No, there's not much to it. I actually like the best part of this was Michael Cole, as he was listing the Slammies that were named on WWE.com, he mentioned that the best announced team was actually Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker, to which Jerry Lawler was outraged. I think legitimately, because as he noted, they were not doing this show.
Well, then we had the couple of the year announced by Kelly and Kane. The nominees were Beth and Santino, Edge and Vicky, Regal and Layla, Finlay and Hornswoggle. Edge and Vicky won, thank God. She cut a great promo, got ungodly heat.
She was so awesome.
And then Santino came out and complained that he didn't get the award, which led to him challenging any other couple to a match right now, and Finlay and Hornswoggle accepted. Santino got hit with the WMD from Hornswoggle in a tadpole splash for the pin. And then afterwards, they stay in the ring. That's an important part here. So... Teddy Molina came out to announce Diva of the Year, and it was Beth, Mickey, Kelly, and Michelle up for the award, and Beth won. She was so happy she dropped Santino. She ran up to the stage. Molina was very sad to have to hand over the trophy. They got in a brawl. Santino went to break it up, and in doing so, got a headbutt to the balls and responded by screaming like a girl again and attempting, thankfully unsuccessfully, to vomit.
Yeah, the dry heaves.
Wacky.
There was a lot going on here.
Not as good as last week's.
No, certainly not. But going back to Kelly and Kane, Kane should have been wearing a bow tie. I don't care. Everyone will disagree with me. I still think he should be wearing a bow tie and his gear. Everything else is the same, but he should have put the bow tie on for the formal wear. Let's see. Santino's mohawk mullet is so amazingly awesome at this point. He looks like Road Warrior Animal at his peak from the neck up. It's tremendous. Then he mentioned that he was going to... He's going to wrestle tonight, even though he had suffered damage to his scrotissimus region. And then he went down to the ring, and before the match, before Finlay and Hornswoggle came out, Santino was in the ring stretching out his balls, which I did not know you could do, but he found a way to pull this off, and he was not stretching his groin, mind you, he was stretching his balls. And that made me laugh. And then after there was some conflict there where Beth slapped Finlay and Finlay slapped Santino, and... He told Finlay, "Don't mess with Beth. That's my future ex-wife."
I didn't hear that.
He's so awesome. He's awesome all the time.
Then we had the Alicia Fox and Joey Styles segment announcing the Oh My God moment of the year, which was Punk winning the Money in the Bank, which Cena's return really should have been the Oh My God moment of the year.
Oh, come on now.
No, it should have been. Because of the two, which one did you actually say, "Oh my God"? When Cena came back.
No, actually Punk.
No.
When CM Punk actually won the World Heavyweight Championship.
I will tell you, I will correct you. You know when you said, "Oh my God"? Was that same night when JBL did not beat Punk and win the title immediately?
No.
That was a bigger moment.
I will...
Because every single solitary person watching Raw that night thought for sure there was no way Punk was leaving with that title. As soon as JBL challenged him, I don't think a single person on the earth thought that Punk was going to leave with the belt.
Quite possible.
So when he won, that was oh my God.
But I actually thought he was going to hit the go to sleep, Ed was going to kick out of two and run away. I did not think Punk was going to win the World Championship until he did, the very instant he did.
I think Cena was the Oh My God moment of the year.
I will grant you that John Cena's return was a greater physical impossibility.
If you want to give Punk the award, as I mentioned many times, he should have got Breakout Star of the Year. And I realize that somebody explained that the Breakout Star of the Year was the Rookie of the Year. Then they should fucking call it the Rookie of the Year, for Christ's sake.
That would be fine.
Anyway, so Punk won, and he had the greatest speech of anybody, where he thanked a million people, including Volk Hahn and Scotty Goldman.
I missed Volk Hahn.
Yes. So, by the way, I want everyone to go back, and if you've not watched this, or if you have and you still have it on tape, Watch this again now that you know what Joey Styles has accomplished. It puts a whole new light on this entire segment.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So Joey Styles is out there, and it was the Oh My God Award. And so basically his only role was to say that line twice. And he was in Philly, so they all got into it. And he seemed, I don't know if bored is the right word, but it was not a big deal to him at all.
No.
He has moved on.
Ray and Kofi, IC semifinal. We had Ray win with an Oklahoma roll. It was a good match. Didn't go all that long, but it was good. So it'll be Ray versus Punk at the pay-per-view with the winner getting Regal. And I presume that'll happen on the last Raw of the year, I would guess. We had Kennedy and Eve for match of the year. And the best part of this was Eve goes, "This category is all about what those of us in WWE do best." And if you think she said wrestle, you're wrong. What the people in WWE do best is they entertain the fans of the WWE universe. Fuck you! I can take no more of this. They fucking wrestle!
Eve doesn't.
I hate the term WWE universe.
Well, that's, yeah.
Christ!
That's up there where they
At
have to be
called
superstars.
At least we call this place the Empire, where we could have an Imperial March as our theme song. The fucking WWE universe. How lame! So anyway, Flair and Shawn won, which of the four matches in the ring, I already got an angry email about this, but I'm going to say it again.
It's true.
In the ring of those four matches, this was the worst.
The other nominees, by the way, were Money in the Bank for Mania, the Royal Rumble itself, Edge and Taker Hell in a Cell, and then Shawn and Flair. And all I could think was, there were two matches better than any of these at No Mercy.
Yes. So anyway, there, Shawn came out to accept, said he was going to put this thing on his mantle, and he was so happy to have his Slammy, and it was such a match that will mean everything to him. And then JBL came out, and watch this again, now that you know what happened.
That is also true.
He said he was accepting the Slammy on behalf of himself. He felt that him beating Cena at Great American Bash was match of the year. Said the Slammy would go great with all of his other accolades in the penthouse apartment in New York City. And then Shawn just stood there and looked sad. The best part.
I think I know what you're going to say.
After JBL left, Shawn was there all sad, and all he could do was take the envelope that held his name. Awesome.
That's actually not what I thought you were going to say.
Awesome.
That was great. I thought, maybe not the best part, but the most notable part, or at least the weirdest part, but as Shawn's taking the envelope and moping away, the fans of Philadelphia are chanting at him, "You sold out."
Yeah.
Philadelphia fans chanting, "You sold out" at Shawn Michaels in 2008.
Yeah.
That's quite a head trip.
Hunter and Batista against Orton, Cody, and Manu. 3.25 stars. I loved this match, particularly the finish where...
Yes. God, the finish was great.
Dave ran wild, and Orton did a blind tag and tried to sneak in and hit the RKO, but Dave shoved him into a clothesline by Hunter, and then he set up Orton for the powerbomb, and Cody whacked Dave from behind. Orton fell down right into an RKO for the pin. Dave jobbed out again, and the finish just fucking ruled. The people went nuts. And, of course, it's no surprise. He beats and outsmarts everybody, and he's the coolest guy in the ring. So why would they not cheer him?
Yeah.
But this was awesome.
This was great. The match itself was great and so beautiful because it was just so simple. There was nothing to this before the finish. They got the heat on Hunter. He made the hot tag to Dave, and Dave ran wild. And then they did a really cool finish. But there, Randy Orton threw like a million stomps. And people were into it, so because they knew what they were doing, and it was all about selling and timing and pacing and teasing tags, and it was a work of art to behold.
And we had Ron Simmons and Mickey for the damn moment of the year. Collie Kiss Cam, Ross is a sailor, Santino splits, Punk dressed as a mariachi, the Kiss Cam won. This was bullshit. Santino should have won. Anyway.
Although I do have a special place in my heart for CM Punk in the mariachi outfit. That was a great
we
moment,
We see that
too.
Every year with somebody in a mariachi outfit.
Not with that mustache.
Well... So, Kali's speech was about how we should not be obsessed with material possessions like awards. We should focus on the depletion of our natural resources so our children would have a brighter tomorrow.
He was also wearing the best damn suit on the entire show.
Yeah.
He looked sharp. And even the announcers were like, wow, he dresses up nice. So he cuts this beautiful pro-environmental speech, and then Mickey stops him, and then Jillian came out singing, and Funaki and Howard Finkel came out to dance, and Sergeant Slaughter and Hacksaw Jim Duggan came out waving flags, and Conley and Mickey kissed, and they kissed with passion.
Yes, they did.
They burned more calories in
they
this kiss.
They French kissed.
Oh, yes. Conley burned more calories in this kiss than he does in most of his matches. They put their heart and soul into this and their tongues.
And then Ron Simmons said damn.
And then Ron Simmons said damn.
Yeah. Damn moment of the year was that French kiss, quite frankly.
Indeed.
Dolph Ziggler beat R-Truth via countout. Nobody cared about this match, but in the ring, it was not bad. And unfortunately, the people were chanting boring and this and that. Ziggler took a hell of a chest-first bump into the buckles. Bret Hart would have been proud.
He did take the Bret Hart bump like no one else but Bret Hart.
So anyway, it was a countout, and Dolph won, and said he was Dolph Ziggler, and that was that.
It actually was kind of a cool finish. They were brawling on the floor, and Truth was about to climb in, and Dolph ran up and hit. It's kind of a Shining Wizard, but he jumps off the apron and kicks the guy in the face and then scootered in. So that was fun. But, yeah, no one's into Dolph Ziggler yet, and the crowd was not into Truth either.
Hey, we had Stephanie announcing the Superstar of the Year. It was Jeff Hardy, Jericho, Batista, Hunter, Edge, and Cena. I thought for sure it was Triple H. I thought, seeds are being planted for these two getting back together in storyline. But no, it was Jericho, which was great because he cut a fun promo. And
he was thankful the fans didn't have a vote.
Yeah.
Because they would be biased.
Talked about how great he was, this and that. Cena came out, and before he could go after him, Edge came out for the champion versus champion match, which was a complete and total nothing match until Cena put him in the STFU, and Jericho ran down, and Cena went after him for the DQ. They brought it in the crowd, at which point, out of nowhere, Jericho just ran face first into the dashboards. It was one of those phantom attacks right there by John Cena. That was hilarious. And then back in the ring, Triple H ran out to attack Edge, and then Hardy drop-kicked him in the back, so we had a three-way brawl, and it ended. And, you know, as a show, I thought it was well-paced. I thought the slammy stuff was not as embarrassing as I expected it to be. I thought that it went by rather quickly, and I thought they did a decent job building up the pay-per-view. So, overall, this was so much better than that go-home Impact. It's not even funny.
Yes, yes.
Although I heard the go-home SmackDown sucks, but I guess we'll have to see.
Well, wait and see. But, yeah, the show was very good. The ending was kind of flat because the match was a nothing match, and then it was literally the same way to put over both title matches, which is just have the people in the match have a fight. And worse, this was the go-home Raw show, and the Raw match disappeared, leaving the SmackDown guys in the ring. And they have another show to build that match, so that annoyed me. And other than that, there's nothing to complain about. The it did occur to me that the best-built match on the pay-per-view is Orton and Dave. I'm more excited for that than I am for either title match right now.
Let's do a couple of shout-outs here before we wrap the show up. We've been talking for an hour, which is way too much time. I would like to note that this is a free show, and if you enjoy it, I recommend you go to WrestlingObserver.com and sign up today. If you love this show and you get one new free show a week, just keep in mind that we do about 15 shows over the course of a 7-day period. We do at least 2 to 3 Brian and Vinny shows. I do about 3 to 4 Figure Four dailies. As noted, Brutus Beefcake is on tomorrow. Lance Storm is on Thursday. We have huge interviews all the time, basically. We've got the Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer 3 times per week, sometimes with a guest. And, of course, we've got a number of other radio shows covering independent wrestling, MMA, everything. I mean, there's so many shows that often I cannot keep track. If you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com and click on audio, there's a list of like the last 15 shows that have been done, and you can get an idea of what we have available on the website. But in addition to all of the new shows, every show we've ever done since 2005, and we've had some huge guests back in the day, every show is available for you in the archives right now from all of our hosts. There's thousands and thousands of hours available right now for you to listen to. Of course, we have the full text of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which has been published since 1983. The number one wrestling newsletter in the world. It started publishing when I was 8 years old, if that tells you anything. And that's available. We've got new issues every week. We've got back issues every week. There's almost 100 issues archived right now. We've got several hundred editions of the Figure Four newsletter that I've written since 1995 up as well. All of this is available. By the way, a new newsletter every week. Dave's is about 35,000 words. Mine is about 18 to 20. A new one every single week. All the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, a lot of the stuff that you see elsewhere on the internet came from those newsletters. So may as well just go to the source. But check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $9.95 a month. And for your $10 a month, and if you think about how much you pay for a latte, I guess that's a bad analogy since this is only Seattle people that would ever pay that much money for coffee. But think about what you pay $10 for on a daily basis and think for a full month. You can get all of the stuff available on this website, both new and archived. It's only $10 a month. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. This is one of 15 free shows, and if you don't sign up, you're not going to be able to hear Brian and Vinny for two more weeks, and you'll miss out on the Christmas show as well.
You'll miss out on the fun and games of the Christmas show.
You'll miss the Christmas show.
The Christmas show itself is worth $10, I assure you.
And all of the old Christmas shows are available as well. You can go back and listen to those. But as a freeloader, you just miss out. So check it out. Sign up. Join the fun. The board is rocking these days. And you could also go on and help vote me the king of the board. I will talk more about that later on, but I will be the king of the board, and it's going to be a great day. The board, change is coming. Change is coming to the board. A lot of people have asked for it for a long time, and I'm going to deliver that change in a positive way. So vote me, Brian Alvarez, king of the board. All right. If you sign up, by the way, you get a free shout-out, and we're going to read some here right now. It's from CJ Nelson. How's it going, Brian? I've been a member since the summer merger. I think it's time to cash in on the free shout-out, so here we go. I have to first shout-out my beautiful girlfriend, Jess, mostly for recently becoming a UFC and ROH fan, while thinking WWE and TNA are lame, and also for being the biggest herb ever.
Is that good?
I guess. She can now be eaten by cows, apparently. Shout-outs go to FNC Mob and the QBC Click. RS sucks because he fell off. Shout out to Crazy Kick, Stan Tripod, Cadillac, Ken Cosby, the patron saint of Chippewa Street, and Johnny West for being the best hair model I've ever seen. Shout out to TK for shitting in Eppolito's parents' bed. Shout out to Gracie Greggy for watching Tasting Mr. Goodbar. Thanks to Fry for being the classiest man ever, and Brian Lurch for stepping to old ladies. Thanks to Breck for being the ultimate bro. And Fail for being Mr. Hampton Summer 2008. Thanks, Brian, Vinny, and Dave. Keep up the good work. I didn't understand a single word of that shout-out.
There was a lot to it there.
Presumably somebody does. And thanks to Vokhan.
You know, I was just thinking to myself, there was when CM Punk was reading his list, which included like his parents and a lot of names, and some people just assumed it was his actual friends, I guess, because they just started to boo, because they didn't want to see him thanking real people.
And I want to know why Bix wasn't on that list.
That's a fine question. Why didn't CM Punk not thank Bix on live on Raw his Oh My God moment of the year? But there are people booing that shout out because they didn't know who he was talking about.
Hey kids, Chibi Diablo here. Firstly, I'd like to apologize to Young Peach Machine and the Mercurial in San Antonio for me having to back out of the planned MMA bout at the F4W convention. Sadly, the British Army doesn't like the idea of training me for 3 months to be a soldier and then me risking my health for the baying mob of Fritz, Plipster, and that girl who pesters the fire department. This, however, means that Jimmy Lasers remains the only member of the board to suffer my awesome triangle choke, which we can all agree he deserved. What?! Jimmy Lazor is going to be fucking triangle choked again by me in the King of the Board tournament. Well, I'm here. Any chance on Big Dave unbanning my Chibi account? See you, fellas. Dude, listen, Chibi Diablo. This is Dave's deal. I did not ban you. This was Dave's move. So email him and politely ask, and I'm sure he'll let you back. He's been very nice to other people as well and let them back. So ask him again, and I'm sure he'll let you back. And stop telling noobs to fuck off. All right, this is Teddy Long. I have a dream. The one day on the Red Hills of the Picks or Get the Fuck Out forums, the sons of former perverts and the sons of former retards will be able to sit down together in the thread of jailbait. I have a dream that one day even the moderated forums, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and wackiness. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a board where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their posts. I have a dream that one day, down in the major psychological issues forum, with its vicious racists, little American boys will be able to join hands with little Euros as brothers. I have a dream today! Teddy Long for King of the Board! Teddy, you shall fail.
If I had children, I'm not exposing them to the board.
No, do not let your children on the board. In fact, Teddy, the fact that you let your children on the board means you are ineligible for the King of the Board.
I'll try to avoid teaching them the word board.
Never let children loose in the board, for fuck's sake. Let's do one last song here, and then we shall wrap it up today. Play, goddammit!
And I was trying to imagine Rob Van Dam without his gear on, which is going to become a song, by the way.
I don't know
why!
Why?
But I'd love to see Rob Van Dam without his gear on.
I don't know
why!
Why? It just makes me feel
so hot.
I don't know
why!
Why?
But
I'd love to see
Rob Van Dam without his gear on.
I don't know
why!
Why?
But
it makes me feel
so hot.
You don't know.
His dick would be right there.
Terrible.
In my
gape.
Oh, that was lovely.
All right, kids, we're out of here.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye. King of the Board, 2008.
Stop shouting.